Well, good morning, my friends, and welcome to the Heritage Hour. I'm Mark Gonzalez, your pastoral encourager here in Southwest Florida, and I am so delighted to be with you on air, online, and in media ministry for over 30 years now. So thank you for sitting with me at the feet of the Lord to listen for His heart to touch our hearts. Well, we're in the beginning stages of an 8-part series. We're going to be in message or broadcast number 3 in this series of this particular portrait of God. Again, I see portraits of God throughout all the scripture. We're looking at how the Lord is our creative healer. He is our creative healer. Man, He cannot be formalized. We try to do that and figure this whole divine healing thing out and stuff, but there's just so many variables. It's wonderfully creative. And we're looking at 20 takeaways. Many reasons why He allows physical infirmities. And so we're working our way through the 20. We're going to be covering number 4 and 5 today in this third of 8 broadcasts on the subject of He is our creative healer. So if you have your Bibles, let me invite you to start making your way over to 2 Corinthians chapter 1, and then later we'll go to 2 Corinthians chapter 12. To continue our journey in discovering many reasons why the Lord, our creative healer, allows physical infirmities and what He wants to do about it. And as you're making your way there, just a quick reminder that my website, markpg.org, has all of these broadcasts archived. You can go on that landing page, just click broadcasts, and then the next page, you just click portraits of God, pretty easy, and then you're there. There's the most recent ones will be listed first, and then go back, going backwards in reverse order to all of the broadcasts that I've been sharing and you've been listening to as we go through our different series. And so, markpg.org. Also, there are printable guides there on the first landing page instead of broadcasts. If you go to the box that says printable guides, you can scroll down and see a ton of topics, including radio broadcast outlines and other things. All one page helps to help you hear God. Everything on that website is designed to help you hear God, my friend. So I hope you'll check it out at markpg.org. Now, as is our custom, as we get ready to take a journey through the scriptures today to see the Lord as our creative healer, let's just go before the Lord, as is our custom, and ask Him to speak, shall we? Lord, I just love coming into Your presence. Lord, I love sitting at Your feet with my brothers and sisters. I love listening for Your heart, Lord. And what a privilege it is to be able to pass along the things that I've been learning over the years and continue to learn as a lifelong learner, because You are so creative. You are so infinite, transcendent, and glorious, Lord. And what a joy it is to swim in the depths of Your being and in Your ways. So thank You, Lord, for this journey we're taking together on this topic that for many can be controversial and confusing. But Lord, I pray You'll give us clarity as we continue just to gently walk through these truths. So thank You, Lord, for being our creative healer. We pray this in the powerful name of the Lord Jesus Christ, and by His precious cleansing and healing, transforming, empowering, and forgiving blood. Oh, amen. Amen and amen. All right, my friends, just to set the table of where we're at before we continue going on, we're talking about how the Lord is our creative healer who cannot be formalized. In fact, He wants us to seek and trust Him about the many reasons why He allows physical infirmities. And so the first three that we talked about in the first two broadcasts, number one is to gift us with priority healing. You know, when you read that 1 Peter 2:24-25 passage about how He Himself bore our sins on His body on the cross so that we might die to sin and live to righteousness, for by His wounds you were healed. He's talking about healing three different ways: our spirit, soul, and body. We see that in 1 Thessalonians 5. So the Lord gifts us with priority healing like triage, he chooses what he wants to heal first, what's most important to deal with. It might be spirit, might be soul, might be body. So if you have a physical thing that's going on and he hasn't dealt with that yet, it may be because he's more interested in dealing with your spirit and soul. Of course, spirit is unto salvation. Soul is our mind, will, and emotions. He wants to heal us through and through. So don't use that passage as a one-dimensional look at physical healing. It's about our tripart being, spirit, soul, and body, all of which the Lord progressively heals, sometimes instantaneously heals. But we do know this, here's the second thing, he gifts us with timely healing as well. He does all that in a timely way with the priority. So we have priority healing, timely healing. Scripture tells us that Jesus answered and was saying to them, "Truly I say to you, the Son can do nothing of himself unless it's something he sees the Father doing." And so we talked about how there's a time for all things, and the Lord is the one who chooses the priority of our healings, the timeliness of our healings. It's a gift to us. But here's the third gift to us. It's the gift of ultimate healing. Sometimes one of the reasons that we may be sick is because it's going to lead to our ultimate healing, which is, of course, going home to glory with the Lord. Death is not an end, it's a beginning. It's not termination, it's transition. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in Daniel 3 understood that as Nebuchadnezzar delivered them to the fiery furnace and demanded that they worship him, but they wouldn't. They said, you know, throw us in there, and if it be so, our God who we serve is able to deliver us physically from the fiery furnace. We know he did that with Daniel in the lion's den. But then they say, but even if he does not, even if he delivers us through death to go home in glory, that's a win for us as well. Either way, it's a win because it's ultimate healing. And that's where we ended up as we continue our journey. And by the way, just a word of application. You know, when 9/11 happened, that tragedy here in our country and the Twin Towers went down, a recurring question was, where was God in that? There were many Christians up there, his children. Some died in that tragedy. Others were maimed horribly in that. Others came out scot-free and, you know, no injury whatsoever. Why was God being so unfair with some and delivering others? Well, the answer is, the Lord was right there, and he was dealing with every person there in his way. His ways are not our ways. It's a great picture of how the Lord chose whether to give the gift of priority healing, timely healing, or ultimate healing, but all of them are great. All of them are good, because God is good. So a believer, and there were some who lost their lives there, it was their time to go home to glory. It was their ultimate healing. God didn't forsake them. He didn't fail to protect them. He gave them the ultimate protection, bringing them home to himself in his very presence. That is a gift from above. We talked about that at length last time, so you can go to the archives at markpg.org and work through that. Now we continue with our list of 20 takeaways and reasons why he allows physical infirmities. Number one, to gift us with priority healing. Number two, to gift us with timely healing. Number three, to gift us with ultimate healing. But number four today, to gift us with shareable comfort. To gift us with shareable comfort. Oh, I love this one. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 3 through 6, put it this way. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our affliction. There it is. Sometimes our physical affliction, even when we're experiencing heart afflictions, soul afflictions, we're going to get to all those later. The God of all comfort is right there to comfort us. And then it goes on, so that we may be able to comfort those who are in any affliction with the comfort with which we ourselves are comforted by God. Oh, this is fabulous. My friends, when you find yourself dealing with physical affliction, one of the gifts that he gives us in the midst of that is shareable comfort, a comfort that he gives you in the midst of dealing with that injury or that recovery or that post-surgery thing or a chronic illness or whatever it is, or if it's things in your mind, will, and emotions that you're struggling with. The Lord is there to comfort you with a comfort that you can pass on, that you can share with others. Hence, one of the reasons the Lord allows physical infirmities is so that he can gift us with shareable comfort, that we can experience his comfort at a depth so that we can share it with others. Grief comes readily to mind as we talk about this. And of course, most of you know the five stages of grief. There's denial and bargaining and anger and depression and acceptance. Now, let me just kind of, let's camp here for a few moments. And because I want to talk about these five stages, and I want to introduce this by reminding you of Matthew 26, verses 36 through 38 about grief. Remember, grief is not something we just experience when somebody that we love has died. Grief is what we experience when we have experienced a big loss of some kind. You know, when COVID hit, we lost a way of life and a rhythm of life that was never ever to come back again. We had an entire culture, a global culture, that experienced a tremendous loss of a way of life and a rhythm of life, and we were dealing with grief because grief comes when we experience loss. By the way, just to shift gears a little bit, this is why when, say, children are graduating from high school and they go off on the mission field, or they go off to college, or they go off to work in another city and they're away from their parents' household, parents go through grief, not because they died. In fact, the kids are doing great things, but it's the loss of their presence. It's the loss of a rhythm and a way of life that we were so used to for so long, and we will experience grief. A denial, oh, it's not that big a deal. We can handle this. It's. We try to lowball it, and we deny it's really having an impact. Or bargaining, hey, Lord, you know, maybe if we can change this, I'll do this if you do this and this. Anger, why did you send them off that far to the mission field or that far away to the college, Lord? I don't understand. And you can get angry about it. Of course, then it goes into depression. We miss them so much. Or we miss that way of life so much. Or we miss that person so much. All of those things we work through before we get to the final stage of acceptance. Not that everything's hunky-dory, we never have those feelings again, but you know what? It is a part of life that there will be changes like this, losses like this that may be good losses, but it still brings an inner turmoil of heart affliction, needing the comfort of the Lord. And there's no sin in grieving. And Matthew 26, 36 through 38 tells us this, that Jesus came with them to a place called Gethsemane and said to his disciples, sit here while I go over there and pray. And he took with him Peter and the two sons of Zebedee and began to be grieved. There's the grief. And distressed. And then he said to them, my soul is deeply grieved to the point of death. Remain here and keep watch with me. Wow. Jesus himself, God incarnate, saying out loud, my soul is deeply grieved. I feel like I just want to die. And it's because I am going to die on the cross. It can't be a sin to grieve because Jesus was sinlessly perfect. And he's modeling what we should do when we are grieving in heart. And that's to go into the presence of the Lord, fall at his feet, and say, Lord, not my will, but thine be done. Lord, not my healing, not but your healing. Not my time, but your time. Not my priority, but your priority. I just want to receive, Lord, your comfort right now. That's what Jesus was doing. And that is a good thing. When you grieve, my friends, grieve in the presence of the Lord. If you get angry and run away, that's it. I'm done. You didn't come through. You didn't protect me. You haven't healed me. You know what? You haven't healed my mate. You haven't healed my son. You haven't done it. That's done. I'm done with it. Well, now you're grieving away from him and you're running away from him. But if you go to him and you bow the knee or you jump in his arms and let him hug on you and let him comfort you, we don't understand, Lord. My ways, I just can't get this. I can't get my head around it. Your ways are not my ways, Lord. I trust you with all that I don't know. Isn't that powerful? Jesus grieved in the Father's presence. We're to grieve in his presence. Matthew 5, 3 through 4, the beginning of the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus opens with this. Blessed are the poor in spirit. Why? Because he saw the multitudes, just like he does in Matthew chapter 9, verse 36, that he saw the multitudes with eyes of compassion, like downcast and distressed sheep without a shepherd. And he had compassion. He had comfort for them. And that's why he says, when he looks at this multitude on this other occasion, and he sees them like downcast sheep, I can imagine that big sigh in him saying, oh, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. And as 2 Corinthians says, comfort comes from the God of above so that we might comfort others with that comfort that we have received. This is why in Romans 12, verse 15, it puts it this way, rejoice with those who rejoice and weep with those who weep. Be of the same mind toward one another. But I love that, rejoice with those who rejoice, weep with those who weep. My friend, when you are in a position to be able to comfort those that are in grieving a loss of a loved one or grieving something that's happened in their life or grieving a long-term illness, and they come to the ebbs and flows, and that comes in ebbs and flows. There are times we are receiving the comfort of the Lord and doing well. Other times we're just overwhelmed. Well, we don't go lecture them. We don't try to correct them. We don't give them five steps of action. Sometimes you just go and you weep with them, especially in the loss of a loved one. You just weep with them. You cry with them. You sit in silence with them. It's your presence that's healing, not your words, so often in the depths of this kind of affliction. And for those who are dealing with long-term illnesses and deep illnesses and serious illnesses, just being with them and praying with them and encouraging them, not trying to correct them or solve anything or fix anything. That's this shareable comfort that we can receive when we let the Lord comfort us in our afflictions, whether they're physical or emotional or spiritual. Now, similar to that, but going even deeper, is our fifth takeaway and fifth reason why he allows physical infirmities, not just to gift us with priority healing, not just to gift us with timely healing, not just to gift us with ultimate healing, not just to gift us with shareable comfort, but number five, to gift us with prevailing grace. The Lord yearns to gift us with prevailing grace when we're going through very difficult times, physical infirmities, soulish infirmities, whatever it is. Here's how he puts it in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 8 through 9, when Paul writes this. This is 2 Corinthians 12, 8 through 9. Because of the surpassing greatness of revelations, for this reason, to keep me from exalting myself, there was given me a thorn in the flesh, a messenger of Satan to torment me, to keep me from exalting myself. Now, let me stop there a moment, though. There's a lot in that, the first few verses. In this context, I'm just giving you the context of what's to follow, because that's our focal point. But we're going to go back. We're going to bring this passage back up, and we're going to talk about this buffeting and the satanic dimension of it and the pride dimension of it. We're going to talk about that later, so hang on to that. But this is the context which we get this. Concerning this, I entreated the Lord three times that it might depart from me, that this affliction, that this hurt, that all this might depart from me. And he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you. The Lord was saying, okay, I'm hearing you, but I'm telling you that in this case, right now, this particular affliction, I want you to receive my gift of prevailing grace, my prevailing grace, and to back up, my shareable comfort. That's plenty for you to carry on. Do you trust me? Do you trust me enough that my prevailing grace will keep you encouraged, help you feel loved, protected, cherished, even though I'm not granting physical healing right now? The timing will be later, but in the meantime, I'm gifting you with prevailing grace. Isn't that powerful? Now, that's deep. I know it's deep. I want you to hang in there with me. I want you to see that the Lord, when he's talking about his grace upon grace and how he's full of grace and truth, that that is available to us in whatever circumstances we find ourselves. So, for example, John 1, verses 14 and 16, it says this, and the Word, that's Jesus, the Logos, became flesh and dwelt among us, and we saw his glory, glory as the only begotten from the Father, full of grace and truth. For of his fullness we have all received, and grace upon grace. I love that. I cannot tell you how many times when I'm struggling with something, either in heart or in body, and I'm frustrated or I'm getting irritated or maybe even angry, grieving, the Lord says, remember, you are full of grace and truth because I dwell within you. You have my grace upon grace. And I just go to that, oh, he does give me grace upon grace. He reminds me of all the things he's already doing and is doing and is so faithful. And even if I don't have instantaneous healing like I might want, his grace is sufficient for me. It's a gift of prevailing grace. Matthew 11, 28 puts it this way. Come to me, all who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy, my burden is light. What I love about this is the Lord is saying, look, just come, sit with me. Take my yoke upon you, learn from me. What's that yoke? It's gentleness and humility. I'm gentle and humble in heart. Just be still. It's okay. I got you. I got this. It's not turning out maybe like you want. May not be your timetable, but I got you. And if you get this, and trust me, you'll find rest in the midst of your infirmity, whether it's physical or emotional or spiritual. We get the same sense in Psalm 23, 1 through 3. The Lord is my shepherd. We shall not be in want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He restores my soul. You ever find that time when you just feel like you're running around frustrated and everything's so tangly and confusing and you just get agitated and you tend to run faster in your life and you feel all that agitation? He says, shh, 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 shh. It's like a drowning victim. They're flailing about. The lifeguard gets in there. Shh, shh, shh. Okay, just relax, relax. Lay back, lay back. I got you. I hold you. You don't have to do anything. Shh, 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 shh. That's making us lie down in green pastures and then leading us beside quiet waters so that he can restore our souls. The Lord loves to do that. So there was a little girl, 10 years old, been hearing about healing, how God can instantaneously heal. She had braces on her legs, had those braces since she was a little girl. And she got it in her heart and mind that God wanted to heal her. And she asked her mom and dad, Mom, I really believe God wants to heal me. Dad, he wants to heal me, but take me to the church. I want to pray at the altar. I know it's, you know, no one else is there right now, but the doors are open. Take me. Well, honey, and they were worried. What if he doesn't heal her from her legs that have been adorned with these braces for so long? But They taught her to pray in her hour of need, so they took her and they were going to go inside with her. She said, no, y'all wait in the steps. Let me go in. It's between me and God. And she goes in there, shuts the door, and just seeks the Lord to heal her, heal her, heal her. The parents out in the steps praying, Lord, we do pray you heal her, but also give us wisdom of what to say if you don't choose to heal her right now, because we know you have your priorities and your timetable and stuff. But how do we explain this to her? And all? And when she came out of the door about an hour later, the parents were just wondering what's going on. The little girl was beaming. She came and she had her crutches in her arms and her braces on her legs. And she said, Mom, Dad, God has healed me. And they said, he has? Wondering why she would say that while she was still in her braces and using her crutches to come to them. Yes, because he showed me he wanted to heal me of the braces on my mind and my heart rather than the braces on my legs. I'm free. I am free. She had the gift of prevailing grace that day. Because it's the braces of our heart and mind that keep us more in bondage than any braces that could be on our legs, my friend. Don't over trust physical healing to prove God's love for you. He loves you more than you can imagine, and he heals you in many ways, but especially loves to heal us from the braces of our mind and heart, even while we keep the braces our legs. Lord, thank you for this. You're so deep, and we want to go deeper in you. Thank you for being our creative healer. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, I'm Mark Gonzalez, and I hope you'll check out my website at markpg.org for more. Till next time, fall in love with Jesus, your creative healer.